This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where Chicago comes to talk Bears football. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score! This hour, sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions.
One bucket to keep its season alive. Gillespie. From the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving, floats it.
Oh!
Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Guaranteed to lose your mind.
To TNT.
Wow.
TBS, TNT, the games are all over the place.
TBS.
Yeah. And thank you for that call.
That was Lisa Byington did a terrific job on calling that.
Yes, the
finale.
Freshman. Yeah, think about it. The guy's 6'10", like 270. I know he's listed at 245, but he's bigger than
he's got to be 270.
And he dribbles. Someone said he traveled. Give me a break.
I don't
and
think that he traveled.
He squares up. The guy's jumping with him, but he's a head over him. And he just snaps that wrist and...
Do you think that he traveled?
Boom goes the dynamite. No, and it never occurred to me. It was, you know, did he take a Euro step? Listen, I've seen that move 1,000 times in the NBA.
He bobbled it at one point. It kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
If you hit the shot. If you can make a shot going
That's
against
right.
your body.
Thank you.
And then you're falling back
it's
and you
incredible.
Have to use the glass.
Yeah.
You have to have the
did
touch.
Did he use the glass on that?
Didn't he? Yeah, didn't
oh,
he?
I guess so. I mean, that's just an incredible shot.
It was an incredible shot. And I don't think he traveled. And the coach was even asked about it. Did he travel?
Yeah.
It didn't diminish how magical that moment was.
It was unbelievable.
It was the best one of the weekend because it was
the only
buzzer beater.
Only
and
buzzer beater.
The
Hard
Crab Five.
The Crab Five. They're not the Fab Five or the Freshman Five or whatever. They're the Crab.
Because they're all from Baltimore, obviously.
Because they all come from Baltimore.
Yeah, it's good for them. It's
Maryland
good for the program.
Has a team of Baltimore players.
Big Ten's very own.
The Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Maryland's in the Big Ten. I just keep reminding myself, UCLA, Oregon. You know, I'm just reminding myself, oh, those are big.
I got to tell you, when I see UCLA and Maryland in the tournament, I don't think Big Ten team.
No.
I know it should. I know it's a sign of the times, but it's just not something that you naturally do.
No.
For those of a certain age that remember when it was just more Midwestern. in scope. When I see Rutgers, I think Big Ten.
I struggle with Penn State being in the Big Ten.
What are they still doing there? Remember that was a big thing?
That was a big thing.
A long time ago. But I think, Derek, you look at Queen and his future.
Bulls.
What is he? Is he?
He's Joker.
Or the center from the Rockets. I can't say his name, but he's good too.
He's a big man, and I mean like the definition of an NBA big man. It's 6'10", and he's a load, and he's powerful, and he's young, and he's just going to get better. He's got
explosive.
Beautiful touch, and he's
explosive, and he's got the right mindset.
I tell you,
he wants the ball when
but
the game's on the line.
He can pass the ball. He can do a lot of different things.
Is he coming out
for a big man? I would imagine he is. I mean, the first thing he mentioned was that he listens to the coach because he supplies the money. So that would indicate to me that he's interested in the money. And he went there
from
for the
mouths
the money.
Of babes, as and they he say. Went,
exactly, yeah. And that's exactly right.
Like that's the truth.
Yeah, he's
that's
going
so
through.
Much the truth, and it's so true. Much about what is what defines college basketball these days.
Yes, that's the tournament we're looking at.
It's the tournament we're looking at. It's the sport that's changed forever.
This is the pure NIL transfer portal tournament, right? You don't see. Is there a team that you've watched for a couple years and they're back and they're that whole thing seems like it's gone.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think that's it's just not going to happen again unless this gets regulated, unless things change. But what's happened with college basketball, it's wiped out the threat of the mid-major. And March Madness has changed. It's less mad. It's not as mad as it used to be.
It's not angry at all.
It's not in the angry sense. It's not insane.
See, the thing about the tournament is it's a one-and-done tournament. So, you know, you talk about Maryland, yes, survive in advance. That's all it is. So they get through it, and now they get to live another day. That's the secret. If you can put together six wins, you win a championship. But you've got to win each game or you're out of the tournament. So you would think that there would be a team capable of getting on a roll despite the fact that, you know, that Drake team had a great game the first game and then they were done.
They can have that one moment. Your moments are restricted to maybe one and dones. You're going to have first round games where you look at teams that maybe shouldn't win that do. McNeese State comes to mind.
Yeah.
And then McNeese State gets Purdue and Purdue plays a near perfect game. And they execute and they do everything right in McNeese's history. And the guy can finally go coach the team that he's been talking about. Did you see that after the game, by the way, Will Wade? He brings it up before McNeese State played the first game. After the game, he says he doesn't want to talk about it. But they take an exit because Purdue was just better on that day.
Purdue was great on that day.
Speaking of that team, he's also moving on.
Aura is going to, with the coach.
Amir Khan is going with Aura.
We call him Aura.
Okay, you call him Aura.
I don't call him Aura.
It's his nickname.
That's his name.
He's got like four NIL deals.
100 grand.
He does.
Four NIL deals.
100 grand to be team manager.
And now he's going to be the team manager.
I think what this tournament is telling me is that team managers fare well in life. You got Aura. The guy that's going to North Carolina State with 100 grand in his pocket. You've got Dusty May, the coach of Michigan, who once was a student manager for Indiana, and they advance. Hey, Michigan was pretty good.
Michigan looked good.
They look well coached.
I got to tell you, I kind of got out over my skis. I think Auburn against Michigan might be the end of Michigan. Frankly, Auburn looks real good.
Because you picked Michigan.
I did pick Michigan.
Yeah, out of devotion to your wife.
Four.
I think that's sweet, but
it's
not very
just
smart.
Out of that. It's just that gives me
sweet,
the excuse.
Sweet, but not smart.
But Brandon, you picked him too.
I have no explanation for that.
No, he picked him for my wife.
I got Michigan too in the Final Four. But I'm like you, David. I had St. John's in the Final Four, so one of my Final Four teams is out too as well.
Did you bring that up? That's the third mention of it. Did you see that?
But when Dustin was bringing that up, he didn't throw shade at Brandon. He threw it at me.
Yeah.
Well, you was talking about St. John's a lot. I wouldn't talk about St. John's that much.
And after they kind of set college basketball back, the two teams is nostalgic and fun. When I was watching that game, I was more watching the coaches. Like the expression, the body language, what was going. They combined to miss 90 shots Saturday
afternoon.
Yeah, that
was absolutely incredible. The ball just wouldn't go down.
Yeah, I think that the coaches were the best part of that game, really. I mean, it was close and it was competitive, but there
Calipari's wife and daughter in tears, right? That whole thing.
It was not finesse. There was not good basketball on display.
No, it wasn't Florida UConn.
No, it wasn't.
Much better college.
Higher quality basketball was UConn and Florida.
That might have been the best game I saw this last couple of days.
Maryland Colorado State was probably the closest game. But the highest level of play, you know, in terms of the quality of the play, I think that UConn and Florida would be hard to beat.
Saturday night, though, we did have. You know, the BYU-Wisconsin game was a really
good.
Yes, it was. That was a really good basketball. That was a really good basketball
game. What's the kid with the headband for BYU? He was very, very effective. He was a big difference maker.
And Gonzaga pushed Houston. They did.
Yeah, they did.
That was also Saturday night.
Did you say it correctly?
Gonzaga.
No, it's Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga.
Didn't you try to get a game with Gonzaga in 21
Gonzaga. It always burns me up when people say that. Yeah, it's like calling me Kevin. My name is not Kevin. My mother used to say, people would see my name and say, "Hey, Kevin," and she would say, "Don't let people call you Kevin. Your name is Kelvin. Make sure they pronounce your name right." So that's why my antennas go up with that. Same with Gonzaga. They were our neighbors. And it's not Spokane, and it's not Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga, and it's Spokane. Go ahead.
Thank you, Kelvin Sampson.
And I'm Dustin, not Justin.
I never called
you
Justin.
You did. I'm just how there long are plenty of people that do.
Dustin. I have never Justin. Once called you Justin. Dusty?
Didn't say you did.
Dustin?
I'm also not Dusty.
So we got Justin and Brendan, and we've got David and Mike.
Well, you're Michael.
Well, thank you, but no one ever calls me Michael. That name has died.
I'm so glad though. I'm Mully. Kelvin Sampson
corrected me.
That name.
Not corrected you. Corrected America. It is Gonzaga.
That was kind of an unlikable moment. That was not.
He's
the point.
A very unlikable.
He's a very
man.
Unlikable coach.
That
I don't
Kevin
know if you noticed.
Sampson, that Kevin Sampson's unlikable.
Sampson has been that way since Bloomington and before. Oh, yeah. A lot of people love to wrap their arms around Kelvin Sampson this time of year. He's a terrific coach.
He's a good coach.
He's a terrific coach.
Go Purdue.
Buddy, exactly. Buddy. Thank you. Go Purdue. Go Boilers. Boiler up. Because Purdue beating Houston would be awesome for
He's
the
He's an Indiana boy.
Thank you, Pat.
You know, for those of us that have Houston in the Final Four, it would not be awesome.
My Final Four, as Dustin pointed out, is shreds. I still have Michigan State.
That's a good one.
I still have Duke. Well, I still have Tennessee. But St. John's, I was all chalky chalk chalk. And Dustin pointed it out, and they're gone. And I chalkity chalk 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 chalk. Disappointed in that. Patino let me down. And then he flew to Cleveland and saw it with his kid.
Yeah, he was more worried about his kid than his team.
The player I was talking
about. Teacher of the shoot.
BYU was Richie Saunders. Boy, is he good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's one of those players that you look at, he does everything right.
And BYU is going to get better next year because they got the number one player.
Yeah.
Paid like $7 million for him. So they're just going to get better.
Is he a Mormon?
I don't think he's a Mormon.
Okay. I'm just curious. I don't mean that negatively.
$7 million.
Why would that be negative?
Is he especially tall?
Yes.
Yeah, like 6'8", like 6'7", 6'8".
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, they've got a program going there. And they lost. Isn't that where Mark Pope used to coach?
Yeah, he left there.
Yeah. So Mark Pope must have recruited some of those guys, and they didn't follow him to Kentucky.
C-A-T-S! Cats! Cats! Cats!
That was Mark Pope before he left Kentucky.
Oh,
is it AJ DeBansa?
That's the guy. Yep.
Okay.
I'm not butchering these names, so I'm just.
That's a top ranked recruit.
Don't do that in front of Kelvin Sampson.
I know.
Don't be butchering names.
Imagine being at that press conference and having
Spokane.
That guy correct you.
I
like
would
that.
Appreciate it, frankly.
It's Gonzaga and it's Spokane.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
You would not appreciate being corrected at a press conference like that.
How about Louisville?
I would. Yeah. I would. If he did that, I would literally come back and call him Kevin. There's no chance I would.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Kevin. So
they got a chance. They got a chance to win that bracket, though. Houston, they beat Purdue. Then they got the winner of Kentucky, Tennessee. That's a terrific
bracket. And how cool
bracket.
Is that? Like, now that you do have that SEC matchup as we get to the Sweet 16, that's pretty cool.
Why is that cool? They've played before.
I just think it's great. Like the state, I'm just saying, for the right to play for, that's pretty cool to have to go through your in-state rival, conference rival.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I think I'd feel better about it if it were a Big Ten matchup, but I know what you're saying.
We have a texter checking in, wondering if anyone is doing a wellness check on Joe. Apparently, 0-for-10.
Was he really?
I mean, it was 0-for-3 with what we talked to him about. Fairly at a rough one.
I don't know.
Well, with us, yeah, I did on TV, just to give him a little, he did have the over in the Arizona, was it Arizona Akron? Yes, he had over in Arizona Akron as a best bet on Friday.
So he got one.
Oh, he was here on Thursday.
Yes.
Arizona
oh
over
Akron.
Oh, my
God, what a question. What a question.
Poor Joe.
So do we not invite him back Thursday?
Oh, no.
No.
We invite him back. We just go the other way.
Definitely invite him back.
Just to make sure we get those pictures.
We've got to remind him.
Opposites.
Everything he says, you just scratch the name off.
If he will come back, we'll take him. Yeah, it's always fun to talk to Joe. Yeah, plus, I mean, let's face
plus
it.
Plus, we got like regular season numbers and baseball. You know,
I mean, okay, the picks are great with Joe.
92 wins.
The picks are the, down to 80. For me personally, just speaking for myself, the picks are the least enjoyable part of the Joe Fortenbaugh experience.
Really?
It's just fun to talk to him.
Joe. Joe's a great guy.
No, I mean, the picks are, I think, I shouldn't say least, the secondary. It's just nice to catch up with him
because he's such a fun guy. He's a wonderful guy. Yeah,
it's fun to talk to him regardless of the picks. So when he comes on, I don't be like, oh, boy, he was 0-for-4. I'm like, oh, that was fun to talk to Joe.
Joe came into town one time, and did you go to that one, Dustin?
I was not able to go, but he rented out the basement of a bar.
A bar. Yeah. He has, and he invites everybody that listens, and Joe pays for drinks. Like, he's taking care of everyone. And I went out there, and I was like, Joe, that's fantastic that you're doing this. And if I were a better person, I would offer to kind of pick up half of it. But let me just buy my drinks silently and sit in the corner. No, it was really fun, and we talked to a lot of people.
It was fun. We'll have to talk to him again because there's some good games coming up beginning Thursday.
Oh, these games are real good.
Because
I mean,
I think
these games are really, really good games. Which side of the bracket do you prefer?
Well, I think that in terms of just the curiosity and interest
– yeah.
Florida has become now probably the favorite team to watch because I really, really like the way they play, and I just maybe haven't seen enough of them. Walter Clayton Jr. is my favorite player left in the tournament. But that aside, I think I like the side of the bracket that begins with Duke, Arizona, BYU, Alabama. BYU, Alabama, to me, could be a really fascinating game because of the contrast in styles.
Who do you like, Duke or Arizona? It's Duke.
I picked Duke to the Final Four.
BYU, Alabama.
I think
it's got to be Bama.
Yeah, but I really like the way BYU is playing. They beat Wisconsin by coming back and being. It's Alabama. I don't want to talk myself into an upset that's not going to happen.
Houston, Purdue.
Gosh, it's going to be Houston, but I would love to see Purdue beat them.
It is going to be Houston. Kentucky, Tennessee.
I think it's Tennessee.
I know. I mean, but that's hard.
I mean, there
could be upsets there. Now, the other side of the bracket, here we go. Auburn, Michigan. It just stinks.
I would love to see. You know how good of a coaching job it would be if Michigan could beat Auburn.
Well,
I think Auburn's going to win though.
They were undefeated. They're a fifth seed, Michigan. And
yeah, I know, but they won the Big Ten Conference tournament.
Should have been a.
They should have been. They're really a three playing a five schedule.
Yes, they're playing.
But I think Auburn ends it.
Auburn, an 8-point favorite, by the way.
8-point favorite.
That's probably as big of a favorite as.
Second biggest favorite of the weekend. Duke is the biggest favorite in the Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Duke's
minus
-9.
Duke's playing at a high level.
Okay, then Ole Miss against Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Big Ten against SEC.
Michigan
is
State.
Awesome.
They did not play great in the first half last night. They just outlasted New Mexico.
Only a 2.5-point favorite, Michigan.
Yeah, but
State.
I think Michigan State is the kind of team that you can never quite count out just because they're so mentally tough. That's Izzo.
Is Florida going to beat Maryland?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
they're
so.
They're going to send the Crab 5 home.
I think Maryland is going to hit a buzzer beater early and then lose by 9.
Because
all they're going to be asked about until that game goes is travel or no travel.
He didn't travel, I don't think.
What are the rules of traveling?
I don't think it's...
It's almost like in the NFL where we didn't know what was a catch and what was not a catch. Not quite sure I know what traveling is.
Oh, yeah. What it is when you start running to the basket...
It's subjective.
You take like 4 steps, you turn
around. You know why
it
didn't...
That's not what it is.
In my opinion, his third step was when he shot the ball.
Yeah, yes. He shot he took it. Off, he was shooting
he took,
it.
He took 1-2, and then he took another step on a different foot and threw it up.
I would love to factor in degree of difficulty.
That's a, because he's that going, matters. That
he's going against his body.
Yes.
And then he
you're
did shoot in
one
the same
way,
motion.
You have to turn. I mean, all of a sudden, you're Mike Jordan. You
and,
know?
He shot in the same motion. He took the step. And then he had the finesse to bounce it off the glass and through the net. Boom. I think you give him the benefit of the doubt there. He doesn't think he traveled. The Crab okay. 5, though, will be Crab walking home after losing that one.
Okay, and then the last game is in the West. It is Texas Tech against the 10-seed Arkansas.
I have to say, Texas Tech is the team Tech. Of the remaining teams I've seen the least of in this tournament, and I think that Arkansas's got it going on. Calipari wills his team, finds a way, and they beat Texas Tech.
Wow.
Texas Tech 5.5.
Yeah.
5.5-point favorites?
Texas Tech
I'm calling
beat
the upset.
Maryland by what? I mean, they beat the crap out of, not Maryland, Drake, 77-64. And that Drake team was, they had won championships at a different
That's level. Something else. That was good. By the way, do you see the Florida, back to Florida for a moment, why they're one of my favorite teams to watch. Did you see one of their players? Thomas Hauge? Spelled H-A-U-G-H.
Yeah, it's like Haw. Yeah, I saw that. It was funny when they were mispronouncing his name.
I was like, what are you
doing
here?
I wanted a Kelvin Sampson that one.
I want a Kelvin Sampson that one, too. You're pronouncing the name wrong. It's not Mullion Hauge.
This is Haw.
No, it's Hauge, Akeem, apparently. So I went down the rabbit hole, and I started looking up, who is this guy, and where is he from, and are we related? He's from Pennsylvania.
That's almost like Indiana.
It's not.
He's an Indiana
boy. It's not. He's from Pennsylvania.
So part of the family, this is like Wayne Fonts, where his brother was called Fontes. It's like there was some schism in the family. They moved to Pennsylvania, and they changed the pronunciation.
I'm calling my mom tonight. Was there a schism I was unaware of? Do we have any family in Pennsylvania?
We have a schism. With some minors.
And she might say, sit down,
not
David.
Underage people.
You might want to sit down for this.
Guys that work in mines.
If she asked me to sit down.
Pennsylvania.
You know, but yeah, he's number 10. He's number 10 for the Florida Gators. And he's quite a good player.
I love that I'm preaching Florida to you before the tournament. And then you watch them and you're like, wow, they're good.
They're good, man.
They're a good team.
I know. I fell for it. They're a very good team. I didn't see enough of Florida during the season.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. They play at a different level. Let's see if they can win.
Let's talk to Kendall Gill.
We'll talk to Kendall next. Got to talk about the Illini bowing out, but really got to talk about the Bulls beating the Lakers. Got to talk about how they're going to beat Denver tonight. And really have to talk about Matas winning the one-on-one competition with anyone, including Luka. Not quite. Just not on quite. That play. Yeah. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7. Score.
Kendall Gill. Wow.
Kendall Gill, Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game analyst from Chicago Sports Network.
So you got to be able to close the show. You know, that's what all great champions do in boxing and basketball.
Former NBA player.
Gill saved with Jordan, 7 to shoot.
Gill got the block.
Illini legend.
2-on-1 now. What's this? Kendall Gill making a statement.
Kendall Gill on Mully and Haw.
I really like that, guys. I mean, you know, I appreciate you shouting out the Silver Fox squad.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Kendall Gill. And he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. And this is wacky to go this way, Kendall, but you're one of the few people that can appreciate who George Foreman was and what that man accomplished in his life. And I got to tell you, that's too young, 76. We lost George Foreman on Friday. And all I could think about was that phenomenal movie, When We Were Kings. And George Foreman, the way he was, and then what he became as a boxing announcer and as a personality, just an extraordinary life that guy led.
Yeah, and you know, there's certain times when certain people pass away that you remember where you were when you've heard the news. And you know, I was driving in my car when my wife called me and told me. And, you know, Big George was, I mean, such a great champion, fought everybody, then went away from boxing for 10 years and then came back and became the George Foreman we began to love. Because, you know, we never forget when George Foreman, prior to his comeback, he was the villain.
Yeah.
You know, but then came back and, you know, became the beloved figure that he became, you know, with the George Foreman grills and, of course, being the oldest heavyweight champion of all time, 45 years old when he beat Michael Moore.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, you know, just a great guy when he came back. And I had the opportunity to meet George Foreman when I was in Atlanta at the airport, and he and I were on the same tram together, and it was just he and I and then his assistant. And you know, I got an opportunity to introduce myself. That's and everything great. One of the highlights of my athletic career, just riding on the tram with George Foreman for about a minute. You know,
that's awesome.
That's a great tribute, because as a boxing fan like yourself, as a boxer like yourself, that had to be a big thrill. So it was a big loss for everyone who's a sports fan over the weekend. So on Sunday, Kendall, let's talk about the Illini, your Illini. They didn't quite have enough. They came close, but they could not protect the basketball. Kentucky took advantage, and Illinois bows out. How do you define their season now that they won a game, but they exited before the second weekend, and you see some good in that, but I wonder how you view it?
Yeah, it's up and down season, and, you know, you look at all the SEC teams, we couldn't beat them. The Alabama, the Tennessee, now Kentucky. And, you know, what I saw all season long is a very talented team, okay? However, in order to advance in the NCAA tournament, you have to have some guys that have some elite athleticism. And if you look at yesterday when we drove to the basket, we were able to get there in the paint, but we weren't able to jump over anybody,
right,
or get through anybody. There were several times when Kentucky, we had rebounds that we could have gotten and could have put back, but we just didn't have the athleticism to get in that position and put those and compete with those guys, you know. The thing is, though, I mean, Kylan Boswell played a great game, you know, but like you just said, we just didn't have enough. And that's something that, you know, in the next recruiting process, I think that's one of the things that Brad has to address, you know, get some guys that are elite athletes. I mean, because really the only one that has, in my opinion, elite athleticism is Dre Gibbs Longhorn. And we need a couple of guys with that type of athleticism that are 6'8", 6'9", you know, 6'6", era. You know, a couple of Nick Andersons and Kenny Battles would have helped out last night.
Well, I got to tell you, Kendall, I was thinking of you watching the Bulls dominate the Lakers and win that game. And I was thinking of you because there was this play where Matas goes behind his back and just flies by Luka. And he finishes. It was probably the best Bulls play I've seen this year, just because of who it was against. And I know Luka is not the world's greatest defender, but it made me think about what would Matas do in the tournament? How good would that guy be if he were in the NCAA tournament? And, of course, your comment that he could beat Cooper Flagg in a one-on-one game, and you've seen it. So that kid ends up with 31 points. Obviously, a near – what was a near quadruple double from Giddey. Kobe goes off. It was like every guy you want to do well for the Bulls had a big game, and they beat the Lakers by 31 points, which they've never done before.
Yeah, have you bought the Modest stock yet?
Oh, I did.
You and I talk about this at the studio all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, but, you know, you and it wasn't just the move. It was how he looked at Luka afterwards. You know, like,
right,
dude, you cannot guard me. And that's the one thing that I love about Modest. He is so confident and has the hunger to get better and is challenging a top five guy in the league. You know, yeah, Luka isn't the greatest defender, but the move was elite. Yeah. And at 6'10", he's just growing into himself. And, you know, I really love the way that the Bulls are playing right now, because – Everybody sharing the basketball. They have 41 assists against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. And also, they've kind of they Billy has changed the way that they play. You look at all of those guys; they are getting downhill. You look at Daylen Terry. You look at Kobe White, who had 14, I believe, 14 free throws against the Sacramento Kings. Had 8 free throws against the L.A. Lakers. And what they are doing, and to use a boxing analogy, they are going to the body instead of throwing jabs, jabs being three-point shots all the time, okay? They're getting downhill. You look at the way that Giddey has 17 assists. The reason why he has 17 assists is because he's getting paint touches, getting in the paint, and kicking out to his teammates for open threes. And the reason why they have open threes now is because they are attacking the paint so much, and instead of turning down those layups that they were turning down earlier in the season, they're trying to finish those layups and get to the free throw line. So that's the difference in this Bulls team and the one that we saw earlier. And, you know, you guys know I'm the biggest Zach LaVine fan ever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that the trade has made the team, it's addition by subtraction. As great as Zach was, Kobe White now has the freedom that he needs. He's adjusted to playing with Giddey off of the ball. Kevin Huerter provides that outside shooting that consistent outside shooting that the Bulls have needed for a couple of years now, simply because he stated this himself, that he's not stationary anymore like he was in Sacramento. You know, and I was wondering why he was having trouble shooting the ball in Sacramento, because when he was with the Atlanta Hawks, he always killed the Bulls. But now Billy has him on the move. He's knocking down the threes. And, you know, I know Trey Jones is a free agent, but, you know, you got to find a way to keep that guy.
That's a remarkable comment, Kendall, and I don't disagree at all. They're going to miss him in the next 2 weeks with him out with the foot sprain, because he has meant so much to the way their offense functions. And I think what's happened is somewhat remarkable. They met since the trade and since the All-Star break, they're a different team, and they are playing unselfishly, and they're sharing the basketball. I just wonder how at the end of the season – it will change. We've seen some short-term implications. I wonder what the long-term implications will be. How will this change the way they view what they do over the summer?
It's going to change it a great deal, because now, and I know you got a couple guys on guaranteed contracts. You just signed Lonzo to a team-friendly deal. But the thing is that you're seeing before your eyes what you need right now. I mean, with Trey Jones, in my opinion, I got to eat some contracts in order to re-sign him. You know, and I know the Bulls have a top 10 protected pick. Who knows where that pick is going to be? I don't think that they're going to be anywhere near 1-5. So the guy that I the guy that I want them to draft is Derek Queen out of Maryland. I think he's going to be somewhere between that 5 and 10 range. Freshman of the year in the Big Ten, first team All Big Ten. I don't know if you guys saw him hit that shot last night.
Oh yeah, you've been talking about
he
it.
He said, "Give me the MF and ball."
Yes, that's right. That's what he said. Problem is, Kendall, the problem is he hit that shot. My first thought was, "God damn, the Bulls won't get him now. He'll go too high."
I hate to say it, but we've been talking about him
for a while.
Oh, I love him because he sort of reminds me of a young Moses Malone with that can dribble and can shoot from the outside. You look at him against Illinois, the two games that they played this season, he absolutely dominated us inside, strictly through his rebounding and the moves that he has. And you know, I said this on air the other day, he has that nastiness to him. Much like Modest.
He's got an edge.
You know, yep. Moses Malone, the most underrated player in NBA history. That guy deserves a spot among the greatest ever, and he never gets one. Probably because he played 30 years and he got to a point where he was just sweating it out wherever he went. But, man, was that guy a dominant player as a young man.
No, yeah, he really was. And this is and honestly, Derrick Queen is the first player to remind me of Moses.
Wow.
I haven't seen any player that plays like Moses Malone, and he does.
Wow.
So before we let you go, Kendall, is there any one team or teams that you really enjoy watching in this tournament of the teams remaining, who do you really like?
Well, my former coach, John Calipari, you know, I've been following his story because, of course, you know, he was run out of Kentucky and then, you know, goes to Arkansas and, you know, they lose their first five, I believe, SEC games. And, you know, there was questions of whether he still had it. And, you know, he gets into the tournament and he beats Rick Pitino the other day. You know, now advances to the Sweet 16. You know, I'm interested in that team. But the team that I really like is Florida. I mean, I like the way that they played yesterday and the way that they played through controversy and everything. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Are Duke and Florida in the same bracket?
No, they're opposite. Okay. Florida's in the West. Opposite. Duke's in the
they
East.
Could meet in the
they
final.
Would only meet in the final.
Yeah, it'd be a great final.
Yeah, I like that final. Hopefully that final will happen.
Kendall, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Great stuff, Kendall.
Yeah. All right, guys. Y'all buy and hold that modest stock now.
we're gobbling it up.
You got us in.
We'll see you in 3 years.
All right. See you later. Take care.
That's Kendall Gill. Wow. Moses Malone.
It's a great comp.
One of my favorite players ever.
Yeah.
Do you remember those when he was in Houston? He was like, it was incredible that he got that team.
When he
was in Philly.
Yep, he was one of a kind.
Oh, no doubt about it. What a man among men. All right, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
3 seconds, 2 seconds, McNeely fires it. A three at the horn, and it's over. Florida survives. They're going to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2017. And the UConn Huskies, two-time defending champions, are out.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. What a game. Great game. Really strong performance from Florida. UConn was right there with them.
They're right there to the end.
Right.
Until their coach... Never mind about him.
The refs.
The one thing about that game that stood out to me the most was the shot-making ability of Walter Clayton Jr.
Yes.
This guy started his college career at Iona, transfers to Florida, was recruited out of high school by Notre Dame, was offered a scholarship to play safety in other schools, teammate in high school of Jervon Dexter, the Bears defensive tackle. And you watch him, and I just was – every time they needed a big shot, he hit it. And not only did he hit it, he was willing to take it.
Yes.
High-level shot-making ability. I was surprised to learn – as you kind of learn more about him, going into the tournament, his mock drafts had him maybe end of the first round, some in the second.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have helped his stock, right?
Oh, there's no doubt.
In this tournament, the way that he played is how he rose to the occasion. He can continue to rise his stock.
He's become like the best player on that team.
Yes.
Which I don't know that I knew he was. I knew he was good.
He was an All-American.
But he's become the best player on the team.
In the clutch as well.
Yes. Yes.
I found myself yesterday after he hit another three, which seemed to be falling away, and just rising up and the release and how just natural and fluid he looked. Jamal Murray came to mind.
Oh, really?
Jamal Murray obviously was drafted high and has had a great NBA career. But a guy like that, he's about the same size, 6'3"-ish, and a guy that you would want to take a big jumper, a big three when you need it. He just seemed to be the kind of guy that teammates trust in those moments to come through because he has. And he's one of the more entertaining players in this tournament left. You mentioned Derek Queen, obviously, because of the size and the versatility that he offers on Maryland. There's a lot of other players that have, you know, over the weekend, if you don't watch every game of their season, you don't know as much about them, but they certainly step forward this weekend and you're like, wow, he's fun, and that's going to make an exciting NBA player.
I think that Florida, you know, with all due respect to the Crab Five, I think Florida has played its toughest game. I don't think they're going to have an opponent until they get, if they get to the championship. that can really beat them. I think they match
Auburn
up
and Michigan
well
State
with
might
Maryland.
Beg to differ. Auburn and Michigan State could match up and give them all they can handle.
Okay, when they get to the Final Four.
When they get to
saying.
The Final Four.
But I'm saying, like, I think they can beat Maryland. I think they can beat Texas Tech.
I think next Monday we're going to be coming in here and talking
Arkansas.
About how Florida played at such a high level.
I agree.
And they dominated those two games.
Yeah.
I think they're in the position to dominate those
they
two
are.
Games.
They're playing, as you said, you just said it, they're playing at a very high level. And they got three guards that are as good as any guard combo in the country.
Well coached, smart team.
Yeah.
They know who to get the ball to in the clutch. They
yeah.
know.
Yeah, and they got a guy that can hit the big shot.
And they're willing defenders. They're good enough. And I think that it was fun to hear post game, as you mentioned Billy Donovan earlier, the quest for this Florida group to get this program back to where it was when he left.
Yes.
And
great coach.
That's an ode to Billy Donovan, because he brought that program to a level where they had back-to-back championships, and they want to get it back to that point.
This bowl season is an ode to Billy Donovan. They've gotten better as the year's gone on. He's working with these guys. He's kind of bringing them along at pace, and now you're really seeing it unfold. And, I mean, the reality is he's too good a coach for them to – be one of these teams.
That's why they are where they are.
That's exactly
they
right.
make the trade. Kendall Gill referred to it as addition by subtraction. And the only reason that works is the way Billy has these guys playing together and sharing the basketball. And also when we talk about the development of Matos Buzelis, which we saw Saturday night come to basically its peak.
Yeah,
that was as good as he's ever been. That would be the signature play of his rookie season.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because he went baseline, he had a little showed the explosiveness, and then he finished with a flourish. And I think that when you talk about that, and you talk about what Matos said about Billy Donovan, holding him accountable, replacing him when he made a mistake, and giving him the credit, that's what good coaches do. And the Bulls have a coach that has been too good to let them tank.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You bring up Florida, you think of Billy Donovan. You look at this year, you think of Billy Donovan. And he has done a masterful job changing the style of play and bringing people along and kind of controlling minutes until they're defending the way he wants. And now you're unleashing a guy like Matos at the end of the year.
Unleashing. That's a good verb.
Thank you, buddy. There's a few of them.
There's a few of them.
We've got a lot to get to. I love talking about the tournament, though, because I spent half my life watching it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.